imagine somebody just collecting those things and never using them? What a waste it would be. On my way over here today, you know, we got a little dusting of snow. And when you get a little dusting of snow, things get slippery. And I was coming down to a three-way stop by Christ Community Church, and I was driving really slow. I wasn't in a hurry. I had plenty of time, just driving kind of slow. And as I'm getting closer to the intersection, I start to put the brakes on, and I just keep sliding. And you know, with the new cars nowadays, you're not supposed to pump them like in the old days. I mean, that's what I used to pump, you know, you pump them. Now we got this anti-lock brakes and stuff. It pumps itself. So I just put that brake down. I said, okay, you got to stop. But it had a mind of its own, and it just kept sliding. I only went about maybe from me to Marjean, you know, 2-3 feet into the intersection, and the other cars, it was a three-way stop. There was no accident, but what if I had been going really fast and thought I could rely upon the brakes to stop me? And as I went through that intersection, then headed over here, you know what I said? Where's the salt? I said, where's the salt? Somebody needs to get the salt out here. Huh? Salt can be corrosive. It can eat away at things. Like in the Midwest here, you got to keep washing your car in the winter because if you don't get that salt off of there, it will do a number. I mean, it will rust away at your car. Salt has a penetrating factor. It can eat away even at your sin. That's what the salt of God does. Eats away corrosively at our sin. Salt has so many uses, giving preservation and life and keeping that which it penetrates from dying, but corrosive enough to kill and make alive. Every cell of your body has salt in it. Have salt in yourselves, Jesus said, and be at peace with one another, huh? Well, of course we've got salt in us. God designed our bodies with salt. And if salt loses its saltiness, then what? Salt has so much value. I mean, we don't know about it nowadays because salt's pretty cheap. But 2,000 years ago, the time of Jesus, in fact, the Latin word, solarium, it's where we get the word salary. People used to be paid in salt. They say, he's worth his salt. Or she's worth her salt. It was a currency. It said how valuable things were. And they would tax salt. Think Mahatma Gandhi and his long 200-mile walk. Think about salt, and immediately you think about how necessary it is to life, and yet if you have heart disease, you might have to go on a low-salt or no-salt diet. I don't put salt on anything, except there's always an exception to everything, isn't there? Corn in the cob. I smother it with butter. I smother it with salt and with pepper. Everything else, I try to use other seasonings to give flavor. Salt. Jesus says, you know who you are? You know who you are, right? But you keep forgetting. And so I'll keep telling you, Jesus said, you are the salt of the whole earth. You are the light of the whole world. A city on a hill, just try to hide it. Just try to hide it. And who would light a lamp and put it under a bushel? Probably somebody that would be foolish enough. That's what the word is. You know, if salt has lost its saltiness, it's the word for foolish or folly. It would be like somebody that would be foolish enough just to collect salt and pepper shakers and never put them to use. You think God just collects us and never puts us to use? The wisdom of this world, Paul says, can't compete or compare with the wisdom from above. The wisdom of God that would use the foolishness of the cross to bring about the redemption of fallen people. There's a story about a king who had three daughters. And the father brought his three daughters into the room one day and said, I want to know. I want you to tell me how much you love me. The firstborn said, Dad, I love you more than all the gold in the world. And the father was pleased, and he got a big smile. The second daughter, the middle child, said, I love you more than all the silver in the world. And the father got a big smile, and he was pleased as punch. The littlest one, she said, Dad, I love you more than all the salt on the earth. And all of a sudden, the two sisters started to laugh at the little one and said, how foolish. And the father was disappointed. But the cook in that castle overheard the conversation. And the next day she said, King, today I prepared all your favorite food. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. And guess what? She didn't put any salt in it. It only takes a pinch. And without it, you can ruin a recipe, to be sure. And the king said, what is wrong with this food? He was going to get rid of the cook. And she said, wait a minute. I wanted you to understand what you missed yesterday. Without salt in your food, it's not worth anything. You see what your daughter was trying to tell you? And with that, the father summoned his daughters in, and he said to the littlest one, now I get it. You love me more than all the salt of the earth. Such is the love of God for us, that flavors us, that corrodes away our sin, that restores us, that gives us life, that keeps us from slipping and falling when the roads are icy and the way of travel is difficult and dangerous. Salt, what a beautiful gift of God. Do you remember, some of you may be old enough to remember, when I was a kid growing up, Godspell? Anybody remember the musical Godspell? Okay, a couple do. The rest of you are too young for it. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if that salt has lost its flavor, it ain't got nothing in its favor. You can't have that fault and be the salt of the earth. Remember that? So let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine so that they might know some kindness again. We all need help to feel fine. Let's have some wine. Remember that song? All about being who we are. The Sermon on the Mount, our gospel for tonight, begins with the Beatitudes. Jesus beatifies us. A lot of times we think, well, okay, I just got to get myself unstuck. I just got to find a supplier and fill myself up. I just got to do something, because Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So I got to do something, right? Yeah, just shut up, right? That's all you got to do. You just got to be quiet. You just got to die. Oh, I don't want to die. Well, but that's what you're going to have to do, because there's nothing you can do to be righteous. It's a flat-out alien gift of God for you, bestowed. That's why we can't fill ourselves with the salt. It's because Jesus is the light. He's the salt. He's our righteousness. The Holy Spirit fills us to the praise of the Father. The indicative comes before the imperative. The pronouncement and proclamation in the Sermon on the Mount comes before the exhortation. Did you notice that? You are blessed first. And because we are blessed, well, we mourn for those who don't know Jesus as Lord. And we grieve. And we hunger and thirst every day for God's will to be done. And filled with the Prince of Peace, we wage peace everywhere we go through reconciliation. Blessed are you meek. Blessed are you when people revile you and when you're persecuted for the name of Jesus. Your reward is great. You're blessed, contented, happy, not just lucky. That's how the Sermon on the Mount begins, by reminding you of who you are. You know who you are, don't you? You're the blessed ones. And then Jesus says, you folks, plural, you all, the way it works in the Greek language is that the verb already has the pronoun. So when you add a pronoun to the verb, it's called emphatic. So what Jesus is saying is, you all, you folks, are present tense indicative, right here, right now, not what you used to be, not what you might become if you just get your act together and work at it. You already are. Salt, light, city on the hill. We just get amnesia. We just forget. We don't realize that when we are trodden underfoot, when we are spent, it's for the glory of the Father. Let your light shine. Let them stomp all over you. Let them revile you and persecute you for the name of Jesus. Because you're blessed, you know. And don't let anyone ever try to talk you out of it. That's who you are. Emphatic, present tense, indicative mood. That's how it all begins. With who you are. Being who we are. Because the Spirit is not about to let the shaker not shake. So he'll shake you up one way or the other. And he'll fill you with light over and over again. Because it's not like our batteries just run dry and we just need a little bit more fuel or something. You know who you are? Please pass the salt. That's good manners, right? I mean, can you hear the Spirit? Just listen to that still, small voice of the Lord. And you'll hear Him saying it over and over again, everything. Please pass the salt. It's what we say when we gather at the table. We gather at the table. Please pass the salt. Because the salt is Jesus in you and through you for the life of the world. When the Orthodox Church baptizes a baby, the baby's wet, and they douse it with some salt. And then they say, may you be preserved unto eternal life. Yeah. Salt is amazing. The salt of the earth, Jesus, for you. Please pass the salt. It's amazing what happens when the salt gets out of the shaker because the Holy Spirit just keeps shaking it, baby. A church out in Seattle, Washington, used to worship 1,000 to 2,000 people, but they kind of rested on their laurels. And then the neighborhood changed, and they went down to about 800 and about 500 and about 200. Eventually, they were just worshiping 30, 40, 50 people in this huge sanctuary that seats 500 to 1,000 people. And their best years, they thought, was behind them. So they were going to try to call a pastor that would, you know, just kind of take care of them into the grave. But they got a young buck. And this young guy came and he started preaching the gospel. He started reminding the people who they are. Not your heydays and who you were. Not about if you just get your act together and look what you could become. He just started telling them what Jesus has been telling us for like ever. This is who you are. Isn't that fun being who you are? It is a delight to the Father. Glory and praise to the triune God. So what happened was the people started looking around at their neighborhood and the demographics had changed. And the Spirit started getting them out of the shaker, shaking things up. They remember last week with the presentation of Jesus, the light of the world? Well, they didn't change the gospel. You know, some churches want to change the gospel. They didn't change the gospel. They just changed the presentation, the packaging, if you will, about what they were doing to care for their neighbors. And pretty soon people started coming. Young families, Hispanic families, Oriental families, I mean, just all over the map. All the nations of the world, huh? And pretty soon that church was packed again. And then it was time for Christmas. Let's do the Christmas pageant. They couldn't do it for years. They didn't have any kids left. Then all of a sudden, they got all these kids. Black and yellow, red and white, they are precious in His sight, all over the place. So they said, let's get the costumes, because they spent a lot of money on purchasing and making costumes. You've seen some of those, right? Fancy costumes that they have for Nativity Christmas pageants that Sunday school kids do. It's amazing. They looked high and low. They looked everywhere. They couldn't find them. Hundreds of dollars down the drain. What happened to it? And then they saw it as an opportunity. Suddenly there were people in this new congregation that had emerged that had gifts, spiritual gifts. I mean, they had the capacity. They sewed costumes. Oh, they were beautiful. You should have seen the Christmas pageant. It was amazing. And then it got to be the end of January, and they said, Pastor, it's time to send our quilts over to Lutheran World Relief. Can we put them on the pews? Can we bless them? Can we pray over them before we send them overseas? Pastor said, that's a good idea. So here they are. They're there on the pews, and the people are coming in for worship. And suddenly people are saying, wait a minute. That's that velour that was from the robe that one of the wise men wore. Remember? People started to recognize some of this stuff. You see, they kept it in a closet. They stored it away. And then it got mixed up with all the supplies of the quilters. And they didn't know. Nobody was paying attention. And they just cut the little squares and they sewed the squares together and they made quilts. And the pastor said, isn't this a blessing? That now, as we give this gift to the nations of the world, as shelter, that they'll also hear the proclamation of the story of Christ's birth. You see? Please pass the salt. It's all about what happens at the table. Or, I don't know if you watch YouTube or if you go on Facebook, but somebody sent me a YouTube video thing. Pastor Mark Driscoll is at Mars Hill, a big church. He's in his 40s, a prominent preacher. And he interviewed four players and one of the coaches of the Seattle Seahawks, you know, the team that won the Super Bowl a week ago, right? Okay? I mean, it was a wipeout, bless you. And so here's what happens. He's interviewing them in January as the playoffs are just beginning. And of course, you know, even before the season began, the Seahawks were expected to make it to the Super Bowl. So he's interviewing them and he says, you know, there's a lot of people that want to know about your faith. I've got a simple question for you today. Who is Jesus? Four of these players, one of them, Russell Wilson, the quarterback for the Seahawks, deep man of faith. And they're there, and one of the coaches is there, a guy named Rocky Sido, one of the coaches for the Seahawks. And right away, they start going down and they say, Jesus, he's everything. He's everything that enters my nothing. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's my Lord. They're going on and on about what Jesus is to them. And then the coach, Rocky Sido, he says, you know, without Jesus, we're nothing. He's everything. A lot of people, he said, they want to win a Super Bowl. They want to get a Super Bowl ring. They want to have a career in the NFL. He said, Jesus is way more than that. He said, I hope that we win the Super Bowl so that we can say to people, this is nothing. The Super Bowl ring, the Super Bowl victory, this is nothing. There's something more. Jesus is better. Jesus is more. And Pastor Mark Driscoll looks at this coach and says, a coach? You're not supposed to say that, are you? He said, I don't know if we'll win, but he said, if we do, he said, won't it be wonderful to be able to share that, to let people know that Jesus is better, that Jesus is more? We get stuck, don't we? It's just amnesia. We just forget. Please pass the salt. I mean, it happens if we just watch the news and stuff and pay attention. There's a guy that when the playoffs were happening, AFC and NFC, the championship games, so you've only got four teams, right? You got like a 50-50 chance, you know, of each game of who's going to win and who's going to lose. This guy, his name is Jim Mattress Mac McAvail. And Jim decided that he would give the furniture that was purchased, people that purchased the furniture at the NFC and AFC playoffs, that, you know, if they guessed them both right, which wouldn't take much, I mean, it's a lot better than winning the lottery or something, they'd get the furniture free. He'd refund their money. And he lost $600,000. And somebody said, well, he should have thought about the mathematics of that, you know, I mean, duh. And so you know what he does with the Super Bowl? He tells people 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, Anybody that comes in and spends at least $6,000 on furniture, he said, if Seattle wins the Super Bowl, because he was betting, you know, that it was going to be the Broncos. If Seattle wins the Super Bowl, then if you spend at least $6,000, you come back in here, I'm going to give you all your money back. But you have to have it purchased and delivered before 5 p.m. on the night of the Super Bowl. You know what happened, right? $7 million. And they were interviewing him. They said, don't you regret this? He said, no. He said, you know what I was raised to believe? It's about taking care of the customer. He said, you can always get money back, he said, but you lose a customer, you might not ever get them back. He said, I wanted to target an audience of millennialists. I wanted them to know that you can make a promise, you can give someone your word, and there's somebody out there that keeps promise and that gives you their word and they keep it. She said, so you're like a diehard Bronco fan? He said, no. He said, you know how we decided it? We flipped a coin. 50-50. They flipped a coin, and whichever one it was, they were going to say, okay, it could have just as easily been that if the Broncos went. 1,000 people coming in because you had to spend at least $6,000, average of $7,000 of expenses, $7 million. And this guy says, I don't regret it a bit. Can you imagine if Christians had a similar attitude about getting the word out? About announcing to people that there's something more important than a Super Bowl ring or a Super Bowl victory? That it's no big deal to lose $7 million if you can take care of people and help them to know that when somebody gives you their word, they keep it? That there is a promise out there that won't go back on? Sound familiar? The God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives you his word, Jesus, the salt of the earth, the light for the world. See, we just forget. We forget who we are, don't we? You all are the salt of the earth, the whole earth, not just a little speck of it. You all are, emphatic, indicative, present tense, right here, right now, are the light for the world. That's who you are. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You see, people need to see the light. And when God's bill said, we all need help to feel fine, let's have some wine. They weren't talking about becoming drunkards at a party. Jesus is the new wine for a new day, for the new you. At his table, he says, please pass the salt, because I've got more of it, always more of it for you. Amen.